All right, listen, we're going to start the show officially here in just a moment, but I wanted to give you a setup right now. If you're listening live, or if you're listening later on the podcast, this is so you know what's about to happen. Beards McFly, producer extraordinaire, works very hard on what we call Last Week On. It takes you through things you might have missed on the show last week. Beards has informed me that today is a very special one, that if you're listening for Cheats Talk, I think you're going to enjoy. I haven't heard it yet, but I trust Beards this deeply. So, you're going to hear Beards' masterpiece this Last Week On. You're going to hear the intro, and then we're going to start the show. I hope you enjoy it.
Last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
So I think they win on Sunday. I'm going to pick them. And if they don't win on Sunday, then on Monday, we're going to get the Almost Entirely Mahomes intro. We're going to have Patrick Mahomes-related liners coming back from every segment. And the show is just going to be a two-hour-long loop of me seeing Mahomes on the range in its entirety. If the Chiefs lose to the Jets. And nothing will change, and then the season will just eventually get flushed down the toilet. What, do you want me to talk about Patrick Mahomes more? Because I will. I'll do it. I'm crazy. I'll do it. Pat Mahomes is Russell Wilson, but better. Mark it.
I think we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey over in the A10 studio.
We did. I know.
I don't know what's happened to that.
Shh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a medium, so I'm currently on a starvation diet so I can fit into it. I mean,
we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey that just disappeared? Ooh, spooky!
What my biggest problem with them is where is the spark? Where is the drive of this team? They have completely lost.
I'm a rookie. So I was just, I was doing what I used to do in my free time, which was thinking about Patrick Mahomes.
All right, but seriously, why do you not want to start Patrick Mahomes? I mean, you might as well cut to it. Some of you on Twitter are so aggravated. I just want it to happen. I just want to do it. Just see what happens. Come on. Play with me.
Where it sounds like I said the phrase, Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. I actually said that Patrick Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers. And now I'm terrified that Patrick Mahomes is going to steal my girlfriend. And it would be a weird turn of events. Like, all the time that we're together, now she's the one constantly talking about Patrick Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is,
only a few days, right?
He's literally a cucumber. He is so dumb. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is such a dope. He's literally a squash. He could never learn this system over the course of the last 6 months.
You know those...
He's not ready.
Mark that.
He's not ready.
You know S-liner.
How much does Joshua Briscoe talk about Patrick Mahomes?
I will never slander the good, pure name of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes forever!
Almost entirely.
This is actually... Oh, I heard somebody in the other studio say the word Mahomes. Sorry, I got distracted.
This is Almost Entirely Mahomes with Joshua Briscoe.
I have the note card you sent me. I'm going to read it right now. I do believe Patrick Mahomes is better than Alex Smith. Will you release my family now?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Patrick Mahomes is brought to you by Almost Entirely Sports.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I mean, today's show, yesterday was the worst. Because I promised Almost Entirely Mahomes if the Chiefs would have lost to the Jets yesterday. And they lost to the Jets without Alex Smith playing poorly. Like, we found out on Sunday that Andy Reid had turned his play calling duties over to Matt Nagy.
But did he, though?
He did, yes. So at that moment, I thought 100% that if Alex did not play well yesterday, he would have lost his job. And he did play well yesterday. He played well enough. Did you just lose a cap of a pen?
Yep. It's gone forever. This pen's useless now.
Also, right now, I'm having headphone issues. It's just like, Beards, can you turn it up on your side again a little bit? I've moved from my over-the-ear headphones to my earbuds. And so I'm trying to manage. Okay, just keep turning it up a little more. Could I get a little more on the monitor, please? Yeah, a little more is good. All right, that's fine. That's good.
There's good?
Yeah, it's good.
You're at a four.
All right. I think I'm at least a six, but okay. But yesterday was really terrible because it was yet another reason for the Chiefs to lose. Another way they found a way to lose. And I'm not saying that because I want Alex Smith to be at fault. I just want one thing to be at fault. That's where you can find some hope, right? Like, if the defense is just terrible, you're kind of screwed. But if your quarterback is playing poorly, you can at least try playing your other quarterback. If your left tackle is the obvious problem, you can try to fix your left tackle or replace him or give him some help.
But when all your starters on defense aren't good...
But when everything is bad...
You can't play your second string starters and...
You know, it's really hard. It's really hard to be optimistic. And it's even really hard now to come in and to be passionate about anything today. What should I be passionate about today? By the way, we're going to talk about Marcus Peters at some point in the first couple of segments. And I promise you, we're going to have the whole conversation in like 5 minutes. And then we're going to be done. Because I've got it. I believe something very clearly here. You should too. And we will be able to wrap up that whole conversation in like 5 minutes.
Forever!
Really, like for this whole week. We might not go back to the conversation again.
I wasn't expecting my voice to crack that much.
It was good. You did a good impression of whatever you were doing. But I figured out, I think, one thing. Because yesterday I was doing a little post-game video on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, and I was just trying to figure out, well, what did we even learn yesterday? What do we know now that we didn't already know? And I think we know now that the Chiefs just aren't very good. There's not a very good football team. And we're going to break it down piece by piece in a second. I mean, throughout the show today, we're going to break it down piece by piece. But I think the largest takeaway that I had from this whole game is where Chiefs fans are now, and to some extent where I am now. The worst feeling you can have about a football team is apathy. If you are apathetic towards your team, or if your team makes you feel apathetic towards them, you are in an extremely dark place as a franchise. Extremely dark. Because even if you're the 49ers right now, they tanked a bunch, Garoppolo looks good, or looked good yesterday, and now they're excited for the next stage of their franchise. The Bears are excited to fire John Fox. But, I mean, there are very few. The Bears are probably like this, but they have Trubisky out there at least. The Giants just fired Ben McAdoo. Their franchise is probably like this.
Did Peterman throw any interceptions yesterday?
Man, I don't know.
I'll look.
I'm guessing that Bills fans are like this. But the worst thing to be in football isn't terrible. The worst thing you can be is apathetic.
No interceptions. 6 for 15 for 50 yards.
Good job, Nathan Peterman. The worst thing you can be towards your team is apathetic. It's why, like, the Los Angeles Chargers are a terrible idea. Because they're a team that's always 500, as the second best team in a fantastic city with a lot of things to do. I imagine the Jets and Giants sort of share that sometimes. Big city, one of those teams gets to be relevant at a time. And I feel that now. And I feel it here for the Chiefs. We're going to be apathetic about the Royals. Like, we've been thinking about how we were apathetic towards the Royals for the last, like, month of the season. when you knew it was over, but even then, you were kind of watching for the last run of your favorite players. Next year, the Royals are going to be terrible, but you're going to watch for the new guys. You're going to watch to see how Raul Mondesi develops. Right now, I genuinely... I'm not excited about tuning in this weekend. And I'm not out right now because the Chiefs are 6-6 and so are the Chargers and so are the Raiders. I mean, you have three 6-6 teams and the Broncos. And the next two games, the Chiefs have the Raiders and then the Chargers at home. The Chiefs still are probably the favorites to win this division after going 1-6 in their last seven games. But I'm not excited about it. I'm not looking forward to game day. It's just going to get here, and then we're going to watch it. And we're going to... Something's going to happen, and then we'll talk about it next week.
And then listen to angry callers on postgame and take all those calls.
Right. It's apathy. And that is such a terrible place to wind up. So listen, we can diagnose things left and right. And we can talk about how certainly Alex Smith was not the problem yesterday, and the offense was not the problem yesterday. And also, it wasn't a great game from Alex Smith, and it wasn't a perfect offensive game. I will break that down. If you want more of that, we'll get to it throughout the show today. But I was just sort of searching. I was searching yesterday, thinking about it as I drove from the station to the emergency room to pick up my concussed girlfriend. I will explain. But it's, I mean, like, that, I could not have possibly set that up worse.
No, that was not a good setup at all. I feel like you kind of need to do that now.
I'll explain it very soon. But on that drive from the station here to the emergency room to pick up my concussed girlfriend, listen, it makes you feel, if it just, I'll put this out right now. I had nothing to do with it, except for that it was in my house, right outside my door, of my room.
Oh God! That didn't help.
I know. I knew that one didn't help. That was for jokes. That's a story that I'll tell at some point today. But as I was like in the car driving, I was not. First of all, I was driving in silence. I drive in silence never. Never. Unless I'm working on something or, like, literally talking to myself, because I do that. Is that weird? That's got to be weird. I'm an external processor, so sometimes I talk to myself when I'm alone in my car. But I never drive in silence. And I drove in silence just because I was not about to turn on any radio stations.
That's what I was going to ask.
Or
when
listen
say,
to any music
when you say
anything.
Silence, it was just nothing coming out of the stereo.
Stereo was off.
Okay.
Just all the way down, nothing. Nothing coming through my speakers. I would usually listen to music or something. I didn't even do that because I was in a bad mood. And I was just sort of thinking about what's the takeaway from this. Because I'd like to come in on Mondays and say, all right, here's my takeaway from yesterday's game. Here's the thing that stood out to me. And I don't have one. Which is the takeaway. Twitter's not mad in one direction. I'm not mad in one specific direction. There wasn't one player or one play that cost you yesterday. Not even one person, although we'll talk about Bob Sutton at some point. The feeling now is just that the season's effectively over. And by over, I mean they're at least not beating the Steelers or Patriots in the playoffs. And the hard thing for me is I've been there since the preseason. But beating the Patriots out of the gate changed that. It gave me a little bit of a, maybe. The first 5 weeks, maybe. Losing to the Steelers was a real blow to that.
I do remember a lot of people here were saying, you know, oh, we'll beat the Steelers. Do you have no doubt they'll beat the Steelers that week? And then that happened.
Yeah.
No, that changed things.
And now since that Steelers game, they've won one game. And it was against the Broncos at home.
It's a good Broncos team, though, this year, right? Right?
The only team in the AFC West that doesn't have six wins because they have three.
It's just, it's really hard to get really riled up about this team right now. I'm not angry even. I'm just bummed.
You're not mad. You're just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed. 100%. 100%. I am disappointed, Dad, to this Chiefs team. And so there were lots of things. All right, like the penalties are a problem, and third downs are a problem. And the defense wasn't very good. But what do you want to do about it? Like, if you want to do more than just complain, what do you want to do? Because I try to also bring that. I try to say, here is the problem, and here is a solution. And I don't have one today. And I think that's also a reason that even now, you're going to hear people talking about Mahomes. And did you have the audio of the Boomer Esiason clip pulled up yet, Beards?
Yeah, I've got that.
This is kind of a weird take. And again, Alex Smith was not yesterday's biggest problem. He wasn't even a problem yesterday. He wasn't great. And yeah, I'll explain. But like, listen to what Boomer Esiason said after the game yesterday.
The other thing I will say about Patrick, about Alex Smith, is the reason they drafted Patrick Mahomes is because of what you're seeing right now. There's no energy there. Now, this has always been a team that ran first, yep. Played great defense, and then play action off of that. They don't have Jamaal Charles. They don't have Priest Holmes. They don't have Christian Okoye. So it falls on Alex Smith's arm and his energy and his ability to run and make plays. He's been inaccurate the last couple of weeks. This looks like a dead team walking to me. The other thing I will say about
it started looping for no reason.
It was on loop for some reason.
That was weird. Regardless, that's something Boomer Esiason said yesterday. I think it was after the game. Because Smith played pretty well yesterday. But it does feel like kind of a sluggish team. Now, the Chiefs had a bunch of big plays yesterday also. So, again, I know this is a weird time for this to come through. The Chiefs' offense, again, yesterday, not the problem. But it also wasn't great. And whenever you have, I think it was six plays of 30 or more yards yesterday, whenever you have those kinds of big plays, it covers up a lot of the ills of an offensive performance that wasn't firing on all cylinders. That's the value of big explosive plays. And whenever you have, yes, it is six plays of 30 or more yards, you're definitely going to clear yourself of any blame in the loss. And rightfully so. By the way, the Chiefs are the first team since 2001 to have six plays of 30-plus yards and lose. So it's not on the offense. The offense started perfectly. The first drive was musical. Smith had time. Receivers were open. The passes were mostly short. Ended in a wide-open Travis Kelce for the touchdown. The next drive skipped right to the Travis Kelce open touchdown. Lots of time for Smith. Lots of play action. Lots of open receivers. And then it slowed down, except for in chunks of big plays. Because like if you look at Alex Smith's like completion percentage yesterday, which is not something I ever want to get wrapped up in as a defining metric, but it can help inform the larger story. He was 19 of 33 yesterday. He didn't even complete 20 passes. Partially didn't need 20 passes because they were picking up big plays. But it was just like Josh McCown had fewer incompletions yesterday than Alex Smith did on more passes. And like Alex Smith led the team in rushing yesterday with one carry for 70 yards, which is also amazing and insane. But aside from Alex Smith, the Chiefs had 42 rushing yards. And this, again, so I think you can actually feel if you want to talk yourself into like this team making a playoff run, you should be happy to hear what I'm saying right now, which is that the offense put up 31 points yesterday without being great. They did it with some big plays. Two touchdowns to Tyreek Hill and two touchdowns to Travis Kelce. This team needs more of that. They should be having five of those deep shots to Tyreek Hill every single game. And Kelce also kind of disappeared after his second touchdown from early on. He wasn't a huge... He had four receptions. Two of those were touchdowns. He wasn't a huge part of the offense after his two touchdowns. This is not a perfect performance from the offense, which you should feel good about. But it also wasn't a perfect performance from the offense. And again, that's not where you should get hung up. I just think that's an interesting, kind of easy conversation to have. And the idea, though, that the spark is not there, that maybe the team has gotten tired of the sound of Alex Smith's voice, as Boomer Esiason suggested, kind of interesting. I don't know. I wasn't a quarterback. Oh, no, I just walked into it. Oh, you didn't have your hand in the dirt. It's not really something I'd thought of. Because, again, one of the things that drives me craziest about Alex Smith is whenever he doesn't take those deep shots that he did take yesterday. And frankly, so one other Mahomes-related conversation. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the defense. But it drives me crazy whenever Smith doesn't take the deep shots that he can make the throws for. A couple of them were underthrown yesterday. Most of them worked out. But if this game would have been played in week 6 or 7, I would have felt very differently about what this means. At this point in the season, even though Alex Smith played perfectly well yesterday, I'm still kind of leaning back. I was just sort of sitting in my chair watching the game going like, well, I still wish they would just play Mahomes and give me something to be interested in. Because the team isn't very good right now. And now it's less logical than it was, 2 days ago. But the idea that, well, maybe put Mahomes in will change something, it kind of makes sense. I kind of get it still. It's not necessarily logical, but it's something that, like, I can't deny that I've also kind of been like, well, I don't know. What else are you going to do? It's like, I'm trying to think of a good, like, home repair project to compare the Chiefs to at this point. So, I don't know. We tried the WD-40. We tried the duct tape. Have you tried just hitting that doorknob with a fish and see if that helps?
Did you try turning it off and on again?
Right. I think we've tried that several times.
Did you whack it?
Right. So at this point, so the Chiefs are a malfunctioning CPU, better than a doorknob, Beards. I appreciate it. The Chiefs are a malfunctioning CPU.
Oh, no, I was talking about the doorknob. Have you tried turning that on and off again?
Okay, we're going to use the CPU one. We've unplugged it and plugged it back in. We've turned it off and turned it on again. We've unplugged it for 10 seconds and left it off. We've called a number on the side. We've whacked it. We've given it a good whack. We've hit every button and hit every button again. And now we're all sort of staring at the CPU going like, well, we thought that the hard drive was corrupted, but it played pretty well yesterday, threw four touchdowns. I don't know. Have you just replaced the fan? Replaced the fan and the hard drive? What if you just got the whole thing? That's a rat right now. I was like, what do you mean got the whole thing? This CPU is going to get you 80% of where you want to go. It's going to do 80% of the things you want a CPU to do.
Is it the RAM? It might be the RAM.
Like, that's it. And I don't want to throw the whole computer out. But it's just like, I just am kind of staring at it now, just perplexed, just sort of out of ideas.
What about the disk drive? Did you try that?
Yeah, nothing. I think it's bleeped.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Mahomes!
Mahomes on the Ranch, where they allow some deep plays.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Where seldom is heard a failed third down conversion. And Albert Wilson never sees the light of day.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Matt Stagner tweeted out earlier today, a friend of the show. Well, did you just kill the music for some reason, Beards?
I didn't mean to. Hang on.
I don't. It's okay. It's fine. Okay. God. He tweeted out earlier. He just said, between some people and fans wanting to get rid of Peters and also maybe Justin Houston, he said that he's just had enough of the conversation. And I just want to put this out as an official offer. I solemnly swear that I have not listened to a single breath of Kansas City Sports Talk Radio today outside of my own breaths. So this means nothing to anyone specific. But if anybody tells you that cutting Marcus Peters and eventually cutting, or maybe now cutting, Justin Houston is the answer to fixing the Chiefs' defensive problems, I just want to remind you that the doors to ESPN Kansas City are always open and welcoming new listeners.
Figuratively, not literally. We don't want you to come here. En masse.
That would be weird. That would, like, what if
our
studio's
not big? Our studio's not big enough for a live audience. I'm sorry.
Oh, but how cool would that be if it was?
It would be kind of cool.
I would love that, man. I feed off that.
It would be interesting, that's for sure. It would cause a problem for us because then our view would get blocked of each other.
Well, no, but not in here. Can you imagine having, like, I don't know how many people listen to the station, like 7? Having all 7 listeners in here? No,
that's what
weird.
I was imagining.
I would hate that. No, I would hate that.
So you want it to just be like animals at the zoo where they just line up outside
the
glass window and they
perfect.
Just stare at you while you do a show.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, we have these big glass windows, 100% charge admission. And now what would really happen is, like, Union Broadcasting should do this, first of all, okay? I'm saying this now. I'm going to go talk to Chad after the show today and tell him, listen, you've got a cash cow here. You got to sell tickets. Also, you got to pipe the audio out. Or you got to give him, like, those little, like, headsets like you get at a museum. And it's like, type code 28 for the, you know, the extra reading on this.
Or just make a lot of headphone jacks outside on the wall outside.
Sure.
That you just plug your headphones
sure.
into.
Here's the thing, though. This is the problem. So as I'm assuming most people are aware, no one's going to be stunned by this. We go from 4 to 6, and Kevin Keatsman across the glass from us here goes from 2 to 6. So what would happen would be like, you know, like the big attraction of the zoo. It's like, oh, we have this white tiger, and it's very rare and special. Come look at the white tiger. And they would come and they would watch Kevin do Between the Lines over there. And then there would be a small plaque outside the ESPN Kansas City studio for this show that would say also, like, and here is the Deek Deek, that small little deer-like creature that has alternate pronunciations that might be more accurate for this show. And then someone would walk by, look in, and then just kind of go like, and I would ignore the tap on the glass, and we would move on. That's it. Also, for 25 cents, you can get a pack of ramen and then just throw it at me. So Andy Reid said something kind of infuriating after the game today. Actually, it might have been in his conference call today. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But hearing Andy Reid say, you know, we got to do a better job all the way around. The whole scene, we got to do a better job. We all got to do better. It makes me crazy. Because yesterday, again, the offense wasn't perfect, but the offense didn't really need to do better yesterday. Like, it's okay to say the most obvious things. You can say after the last 2 weeks, yeah, Alex Smith has to be better. And yesterday you can say the defense has to be better. It's the same thing constantly. And I don't know how that affects the locker room. I really don't. For me, it would be kind of weird just for the head coach never gives any blame anywhere. Which is to some extent to protect his players, and I'm sure he does give actual blame behind closed doors, but it's infuriating. It drives me crazy. Also, again, Matt Nagy called the plays yesterday. The offense is really good through the first couple of drives, which were almost certainly scripted by Andy Reid, and then the offense was, you know, still had some big plays. Maybe Nagy had a little more of a insistence on taking some deep shots. Fine by me. I thought that move would have meant more if the offense would have struggled also yesterday, because if the offense struggles after changing the play caller, then you're out of other places to place the blame other than at quarterback. So I thought, and I said this before the game, if the Chiefs offense would have struggled yesterday, then we probably would have seen Mahomes against the Raiders. And now we're not going to, and it's going to be Alex Smith through the season, which was the plan all along. All right, have we gotten through everything that's not Marcus Peters related? Let's do this really quick. All right, listen.
Do we need chief concern imaging?
No.
Okay.
Not for this. This is not my chief concern. I do love a good production value, but this is not my chief concern. Actually, you know what? Get the imaging. My chief concern is with bad fans.
Chief concern.
Not that you have to be a fan in a particular way, or that you can be a bad fan by not being needlessly supportive. I don't believe any of that. My chief concern is short-sighted logic and dumb, in-the-moment, brash statements. So, if you somehow missed this, here's a rundown of what happened. This was actually on the two-point conversion, right? Did I get this right? It was after the Jets had already scored a touchdown. On the two-point conversion, there's a holding call on Steven Nelson in a play that ran on forever. And Peters was very upset with the holding call on Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson did not have a good game yesterday. Lots of penalties, lots of problems with Steven Nelson yesterday. And by the way, Darrell Revis played like a half. We'll talk about him later. But Peters was unhappy with the call. So unhappy that he took the flag and threw it into the stands. Which, if we can just say for a second, objectively hilarious. If somebody else did that, if Jalen Ramsey did that in Jacksonville, you would think it was awesome. But it's not, it's your player, it's your team, so it's different. I get it.
What is it with Chiefs players throwing flags or things that are like flags?
Because Marcus Peters and Travis Kelce are the same person.
Who's
it's
next?
Just those dudes. I would love for Alex Smith to just punch a ref in the face. Can you imagine how insane that would be? Just the visual of that? How crazy that would be?
He'd have to go rabid.
Right, yeah.
He'd have to have rabies.
He gets bit.
He would have to have rabies.
He gets bit by Travis Kelce, and then, yeah, that's perfect. But, no, serious talk. No jokes. Serious. So Peters didn't like the holding call on Steven Nelson. He reacted, and I'm going to use this word, so if we're all clear on this. He reacted petulantly. Or to say, childishly. He threw a tantrum, and he picked up the flag and chucked it into the stands. I am going to argue that he believed that he was ejected, and I believe he was even escorted out by Chiefs personnel. I think somebody walked
him
out.
Yeah, there was somebody following him. I remember seeing it on the broadcast.
So, I don't think you can even argue for a second that he just walked out on his own accord or quit. I think that's a silly take.
And I may be wrong about this. I'm probably 100% wrong, but I feel like they, like, called the stuff first and then later went back and were like, you know, this penalty has been accepted and this one's been rejected.
You can't decline an ejection, though. So they did do like the personal foul and the holding thing because there were multiple penalties on the 2-point conversion, and that was on messy. But Peters was headed out of the stadium or out into the locker room with a member of Chiefs personnel.
There was somebody following. I do remember that.
And then Reed talked to the refs. Peters comes back in wearing no socks. Because he was undressing to take a shower or whatever, because he thought he was out of the game. I think that's the only logical conclusion. I know that a lot of you are never going to give Marcus Peters the benefit of the doubt because you don't like him personally. That's up to you. You can figure out your own line of thinking there.
But that's the most logical thing, obviously, is that he thought he was ejected. And then he came back. So he didn't quit on his own team, which would have been, admittedly, a really terrible look. And also, just throwing the taking a ref's flag and throwing it into the stands, it's a bad look. It's a national story today. It's a lesser national story today than just everybody's favorite lovable meathead Rob Gronkowski purposely concussing someone. We'll get to that in a second. But he childishly threw the flag into the stands. It's a tantrum. It's a hissy fit. It's not the optics of it are bad. But spare your outrage. Also, also the penalty ultimately costs the Chiefs a yard. Because I think it was half the distance to the goal and then to read the two-point conversion, which starts at the two-yard line. Rodney Harrison said last week the Chiefs weren't playing with enough passion. Remember that? Sunday Night Football said the Chiefs need to play with more passion. What about now? Where are we now on that one? I'm curious. Because it seems like Marcus Peters really, really cares. You can acknowledge that Peters acted childishly, which I will happily do. But I don't think that you could possibly question his desire to win, his desire to play well, and to be as good of a football player as you could possibly be. He's a wild dude. And when you're winning, you love those guys, and when you're losing, you berate those guys. So the idea, is he worth it? That conversation is completely insane to ask. Just do it from a utilitarian perspective. What would you rather have? Let's say that Marcus Peters gets a personal foul every game for the rest of his life. Which is not the pattern. But let's say he gives up a 15-yard penalty every game for the rest of his life. What would you rather have in that cornerback spot? Marcus Peters with a 15-yard penalty that'll show up at random at some point throughout the game, or a full game of Philip Gaines? Because Philip Gaines is definitely going to cost you more than Marcus Peters plus 15 yards. If you were going to give me a full game of both of those guys and you were going to set a betting line, Marcus Peters plus 15 yards would beat Philip Gaines' allowed yardage number by a solid 100 yards. It's not even close. It's not even a realistic conversation. Now, there is a realistic conversation you can have with this, because Marcus Peters is eventually going to be in line for a very big contract extension. You cannot ask, is he worth it currently? You can reasonably ask, whenever that contract comes around, how much is he worth? How much of a liability is there? Does a larger number of money going to Marcus Peters concern you? I get it. That's a fair conversation that we can have then. But not right now. Not even close. It's a completely inane conversation to be having. And I was doing the post-game video thing here after the game yesterday. And somebody swept in with, he should be cut. He should have been cut after the anthem thing. And I don't know. Okay, well, there's that. If you make that argument, I'm gonna have to completely discount you because you made that decision before the incident that we're all talking about. You sound very foolish with that argument. If that is your reasoning. And I will say truly, I think you sound foolish if you believe that the Chiefs should release Marcus Peters at all. A follow-up question if you are in that camp. Would you like to have Aqib Talib opposite Marcus Peters? I certainly would. Do you know how much better this team would be if Aqib Talib was the team's second corner? Holy cow. What about adding Michael Crabtree to be this team's number two receiver? Oh my goodness. What about Rob Gronkowski? Would you add him to the offense? All those guys have done worse things than Marcus Peters has. Talib and Crabtree missed their team's games last week because they got into a fist fight during the game. I would like to have both of those guys on the Chiefs. They would be much better. Rob Gronkowski has been suspended for one game for purposefully concussing an opponent after a play. It was after an interception, and the guy was down. The play was very much over, and I think actually also out of bounds. And Gronk came in with his robo elbow and hit the Bills defensive back in the helmet with his elbow, which gave him a concussion. The optics of that are horrendous. The act of that is terrible. You're purposefully seeking to cause a completely vulnerable player physical harm of the brain variety. Is he worth it? Tlaib and Crabtree and Gronkowski all have more bothersome issues. And those are things that have all happened in the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks of NFL football. Those are the most recent examples. All of those guys would be a wonderful addition to this Chiefs offense. Or defense, in Tlaib's case. So yes, Marcus Peters is unequivocally worth it. This will affect his contract negotiations, and that's fine. That's fair game. That's a discussion that you're allowed to have. But should he be on the team right now? As absolutely not. And I've yet to see any argument to the contrary that genuinely makes me rethink any of that. No, he's a locker room cancer. What is the problem with the defense? Is the problem with the defense that they all play too recklessly? And with too much emotion and with too much reckless abandon? Because those are the criticisms you could give to Marcus Peters with that emotional outburst, right? He's too emotional. If you look at that defense and tell me that that attitude has caught on there and the whole defense is playing too emotionally, you're watching something completely different than I am. The Chiefs' defense is very reserved. And we can talk about the actual X's and O's of the defense from yesterday once we get past the Marcus Peters conversation. I want to wrap it up and move to the actual issues, of which Marcus Peters is absolutely not one. And as always, if you would like to tell me to stick my head in an oven, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe or comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Jaron on the Facebook page comments, Mahomes' handsomeness is too raw, he needs more time.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, like 10 more seconds on Marcus Peters here. Eddie commented on the Facebook page. He said, I think a lot of people are mixing passion up with emotion, and he explains that and everything, and it's all very well said. And yeah, that's fair. Marcus Peters is an emotional dude. And I would say that actually he spends some time in both of those arenas for as well as I can tell. Sometimes he seems to be, oh, good, this is good, 24-second shot clock. Sometimes he seems to be, like, he's emotional to the common goal, and sometimes he's emotional and he throws a tantrum or a flag, and that's just a part of what he is. That is in no way disqualifying for how good and important he is for this defense. It's just a part of the Marcus Peters package. And I don't know, maybe we just need to have a better sense of humor. We all need to just chill out a little bit. Crushed it. I was done. That was my dismount. Beard, you asked me a question during the break. What were you talking about?
So I feel like we need to follow up on the story of your concussed girlfriend.
Right.
We left that kind of hanging.
We did.
Off the cliff.
We'll get to it. I don't know why you would feel the need to address that story as soon as possible after I did explain that I went straight from the station yesterday to the emergency room to pick up my concussed girlfriend. And again, also, I'm pretty sure that I've made it very clear. I mean, I had nothing to do with it, even though it was, it did happen just outside my bedroom at my own house.
I saw her on the Facebook video earlier. Let's see if she's still watching. Nope. Okay, we're good.
I want her to be able to comment on the storytelling. We'll get to it later. We'll get to it eventually. We'll probably start off next hour with it.
Is this going
to
be like the Ben Simmons 29 free throws thing? Where
we'll have to tell the story. Okay, well, actually, all right, let's just tell the story.
We've got 2 minutes.
Can I tell the story in 2 minutes? Well, the really important thing, here's another piece of the puzzle, okay?
Here's another piece of the puzzle. Let's see if I can do it this way. Her official, I tweeted out a little bit of her official, like, ER, like, write up the reasons for visit. And there are two reasons.
She's back.
It says, the first reason was possible concussion. And so just here's how, I'm not going to explain the story. I'm going to read you what the emergency room wrote down as the story, okay? 21-year-old, I guess WF means white female. Patient presents noting she fell down 10 stairs at her home this a.m. She notes her, quote, boyfriend heard a noise and then found her confused on the floor, end quote. She presented to urgent care, quote, almost staggering into office. By staff description, she reports occipital scalp tenderness. She is uncertain if she lost consciousness. She notes she has had some tunnel vision and feels nauseous, like she could vomit. She notes disequilibrium. She tried to get into work and was, quote, very confused. She actually did fall down the stairs. And it's at a place now where I want to tell the story because it's funny. But even, like, I mean, the story itself isn't that funny. The phrasing that has to accompany the story makes me laugh.
It's the equivalent of the Ned Yost fell out of a tree.
Sort of, except for there isn't an immediate connotation as, maybe Ned Yost's wife pushed him out of that tree stand. That'd be a very different story. She was at my house, and she slipped and fell down the stairs yesterday morning. It was not, that part wasn't funny, that part was horrifying. But now you read the report thing in the way that I have framed it earlier, and it sounds like a very terrible thing that I'm taking not nearly seriously enough. And I have nothing. I have nothing to tell you. It was terrible. Also, it's kind of funny.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Again, if this is the first time listening to the show, I'm not going to spend the whole show telling you all the reasons that Patrick Mahomes should start next week.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow's show.
On ESPN Kansas City.
If you're just joining us, this is going to be very confusing. If you were here through the last segment, this is going to make a lot of sense. Renee has commented on the Facebook Live video. She said, I mean, I was going downstairs to make him coffee. Did I do good, Josh? Have I been telling the story right? I'll make you better coffee next time. I mean, I don't know what else we could have done to make this story sound not this bad.
I think it's just time to move on to a different topic.
I got nothing else to do in this space here. Oh, man, Ben McAdoo's hair is the worst.
Bob.
No, it's only you and Charlie call him Bob. I'm going to call him Ben. I respect his job, the job he did. Oh, Bob. I mean, he looked like he had, after he used to have, like, that feathered hair, it looked like now he just had it painted on. Like, he just shaved his head and painted his hair on.
Speaking of painted hair, I'm assuming you've seen the Carlos Boozer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
This is the white Carlos Boozer.
It's pretty incredible.
It's incredible. It's a sight to behold.
I want
to
know what the decision was going from hairdo to hairdo like that. And it's very extreme.
He wanted to make himself look like less of a joke. And it backfired.
Well,
it backfired badly.
Oh, man.
All right, so I told you last segment we were going to talk about Peters, and then now we're going to talk about the actual problems with the defense. So the third and long issues, Beard said that Renee commented again. Just tell me.
Yeah, just move on from me. Leave me broken at the bottom of your staircase.
Again. I don't know if I like the narrative that this is building about me. I don't think this is good for my hashtag brand. You know, you're being awfully selfish, Renee. I almost hurt myself rushing to your aid. I'm the victim here. I'm the one that needed a trip to the ER. I could have popped my ankle.
You had to keep your postgame video really short.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I did a very short postgame video so I could go get her at the emergency room. Also, I didn't just abandon her at the emergency room, by the way. she was not sure if she needed to go, and then Aunt Beer just cackled something. And then she went, and then one of our mutual friends went and hung out with her at the emergency room until I got there, and then I took her back after that. What's the comment say, Beards?
Josh has a lot of passion about his coffee. That's a callback.
It is a callback. Until like 10 minutes ago, but it is a callback. I think we've gone too deep on this one. I think we've gone too deep into the inception. Can you imagine tuning in now? Can you imagine not having the full narrative of this? Stop commenting! You're going to fall down another flight of stairs accidentally.
No. That didn't help. Didn't help.
No, it didn't. That was a joke. All right. Okay, we're going to talk about the Chiefs now. For the last time before the show gets canceled. I wonder if me being on Deadspin will be good for my Twitter follower count. Kansas City radio host doth protest too much. Anyway, the Chiefs defense. There was a really bizarre scheme thing. Listen, I've defended Bob Sutton at lots of points along the way. I've looked at these last 2 weeks before this game as signs the defense is actually doing something competent. Clinton is asking for Nate will pass concussion protocol. She would catch 6 passes for the Patriots out of the slot next week. I'll tell you that. And one thing I think I got wrong about the last few weeks of Chiefs football is I saw the last 2 weeks of the defense being fixed. Not fixed, but improved upon. Because the pass rush was still not good these last few weeks. And the pass rush might be the biggest problem here. Saw this out on Twitter earlier today. Through the last 7 games, the 1-6 stretch here, the Chiefs have 7 total sacks. 1 per game. Which is dead last in the NFL in that time span. The pass rush might be the biggest possible problem. And that is something that we should have seen. I was just excited to not have to blame the defense for a couple of games. Beard says that my mom is not commenting on the Facebook page. Go ahead, just read it.
Well, what was Renee doing at your house so early in the morning?
I want to keep walking straight into the line of fire and just keep making jokes, but now I literally cannot. I'm not allowed to say what I want to say. What, Beards? What, you were going to turn your mic on?
No, I was going to ask if I could turn your mic off and put it in queue, and then you could tell me the joke, and I could laugh, and then everybody else would just sit in silence.
No, I'll tell you in the break whenever we go back to not having our microphones on during the break for the Facebook Live. I don't know. It would have been something. It would have walked right into the jokes, whatever that would have been. I don't know. Can I talk about the defense? I feel like we've gone too far now. I feel like the show's over. I feel like you should just loop music for the just play music, just DJ. Just play whatever music we have in the system for the next 42 minutes, 52 minutes, and that's just going to be the rest of the show. I don't know if we can get back on track. I think we've gone too far. What is this song?
Parliament. Flashlight.
This is just what you listen to.
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right, goodbye. The show's over. The Chiefs have maybe the best press coverage corner in football. And on 3rd and long, he was consistently giving receivers 7, 8, 9 yards of cushion. And I do not get it.
That's something with Bob Sutton that I just simply don't understand. And that's going to be a Bob Sutton problem. He made some fixes. They played more base defense the last couple of weeks. They stopped trying to use Daniel Sorensen as a linebacker whenever he's actually a safety. They got better at a bunch of those things. But yesterday was such a regression. And I think what it actually was, they just played a pretty rough offense in Buffalo and against Buffalo and a really, really terrible offense in the New York Giants. And it was so bad that the defense looked better, even though there wasn't an obvious change other than the run defense got better. The run defense was fine yesterday also. The Jets ended up with, well, they ended up with 157 yards, but it was averaging 3.2 yards per carry. Matt Forte had 15 carries for 58 yards. Bilal Powell had 18 for 48. Josh McCown ended up with the two rushing touchdowns, or two of the three rushing touchdowns. But that was not a tragic part of this defense's failure. The problem was that Josh McCown looked like a Hall of Fame quarterback. 38-year-old, I think, Josh McCown? I mean, it's just... it was hard to watch. And Bob Sutton's defenses always give up a bunch of yardage. Bob Sutton's defenses always give you a cushion and try to keep everything in front of them. But it didn't work yesterday, obviously. And I would be fine with the defense playing with a little more recklessness. I would be fine with the defense being willing to give up a couple more plays for the sake of being a little more aggressive to get to the quarterback. Worst in the NFL when it comes to sacks in these last seven games. Seven sacks, seven games, worst in the league. You can't win that way. Also, the takeaways are a huge problem. Brandon Kyler has been all over this on Twitter. The Chiefs have had 14 takeaways through these 12 games this year, which is so different from these last couple of seasons where the takeaways have been keeping this defense standing. This is a tweet from Brandon Kiley. The Chiefs have seen four more plays through 12 games than they did last year as a whole, through those same 12 games. They gave up more yards through those 12 games last year. All right? The Chiefs have seen four more plays this year than they did last year through 12 games. That defense gave up more yards. But the 2016 defense had a ton of takeaways. The 2016 defense gave you the big plays to fool you, to trick you into thinking that defense wasn't bad. And I've said 1,000 times, and I'll continue to say it, obviously, Bob Sutton's not getting fired this year. He would have to, publicly, he would have to set up Philip Gaines in one of those things you throw tomatoes at. And even that might just be like, oh, look at Bob Sutton trying to get his players riled up.
80 points to the Raiders won't do it?
No.
100?
No.
500?
No, the Chiefs could give up 500 points to the Raiders, and it could be 500-437, and Andy Reid would come out next week and go, you know, we got to be better all the way around. I mean, we all got to do our job. It starts with me. What about the defense and Bob Sutton? We all got to be better. We should have scored 502. There could be 900 points scored next week. And Bob Sutton would not get fired this year, and Andy Reid would say that everyone has to be better. But I do think that this game and the rest of this season are going to make Bob Sutton fireable this offseason. The team's going to have a lot of differences next year. There's going to be no Derek Johnson, no Tom Bahali, no D. Ford. And it's probably going to be Mahomes. It's going to be Mahomes starting at quarterback. Probably no Matt Nagy. Maybe no Dave Tobe. Lots of changes next year. And think about that, man. The Chiefs could potentially be going in the next year with three different coordinators. I don't think Andy Reid wants that. You think he wants to have a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator, and the new special teams coach? Because Tobin Nagy are both head coaching candidates and Bob Sutton is fireable at this point. I would be as happy as anybody. I've said this 1,000 times. I'd be happy as anybody to see Rex Ryan be the next defensive coordinator of the Chiefs. I think that would be a blast. Even if it wouldn't be good, it would be fun. So I will take that. But I have a hard time seeing the Chiefs choose that kind of turnover amongst their coaches. Now, maybe Brad Childress just moves to offensive coordinator. He's been with this team now for a long time. He was a co-offensive coordinator last year. This year, it's Nagy. Nagy. I probably said his name different every time this whole year. But so maybe if he leaves, he gets a head coaching job that goes to coach the Colts. Maybe Childress just takes over again. Or takes over fully. Maybe they find somebody else in the system they like. I don't know. I would be surprised, very surprised, though, to see Reed bring in somebody he hasn't worked with as the offensive coordinator. Defense is a little more open because this defense has problems. And I also am not really – listen, the Eric Berry thing is huge. We've somehow found a way to undervalue Eric Berry that I think we're only now beginning to truly understand how important he is to this team. But – You can't look at this defense and say it's devoid of talent. Now, the defensive line, I guess we overrated. Benny Logan hasn't been much of anything. We haven't heard from Chris Jones in like a month. Now, I thought he was going to take a step forward, and he's probably taken a step backwards. He at least hasn't done more than he did last year. Alan Bailey has been hurt off and on. The defensive line's been silent. Which isn't always a bad... It's not a bad thing in a 3-4 if your defensive line is silent, if your pass rushers are doing something. But Justin Houston's been very quiet because he's got to do a lot of things. Tano Pashino got a lot of run yesterday. That was good. He made a couple of plays, but like run defense plays. Frank Zombo? I think Frank Zombo hit Josh McCown one time. Reggie Ragland has been good, but, you know, that's a run stuffing thing. Oh God, I just saw the Gronkowski hit again. It's terrible. But is he worth it? I can't look at this defense and say that it's devoid of talent. So I do think it would make a lot of sense for the Chiefs to make a change there this offseason. Darrell Revis didn't really help. He got challenged a couple of times early on. He wasn't making tackles. He got replaced by Terrence Mitchell in the third quarter, which is reasonable because Terrence Mitchell's not a bad corner. As I said, Revis just needed to be better than Philip Gaines. I think he still can be. Two things I would say to try to go the other direction on the current wave of Darrell Revis is done and this signing was stupid. He doesn't even have to be the number two corner. He just has to be better than, you know, somebody for the signing to have made sense. And also, I'm not going to say this guy who hasn't played football in a solid year, I'm not going to say that he has to be back right now. He has to be at full speed right now. I'm guessing it's going to take him some time to knock the rust off. So I will wait a little bit before passing judgment on if Darrell Revis can do anything for this team. You can always tweet me, at JB Briscoe, if you have any questions or comments. You can always put them on the ESPN Kansas City page. As long as they're not about my girlfriend's concussion. Because I'm pretty sure we've reached max capacity on concussion jokes. Or jokes aimed at me. In the Facebook comment thread. But yes, actually, the Chiefs concussion doctor checked her out, and they said that she is completely good.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, for what it's worth, if we see another 9-point performance here, I'm not going to be able to hold back my Patrick Mahomes. The angry mob is coming. They are going to destroy you.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Do they have torches and pitchforks, or what do they have instead?
Actually, unlike Alex Smith's fan base, they have range weapons, so they can attack you from a distance.
Solid joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
On ESPN Kansas City.
There are a few stories that aren't related to the Chiefs that are just stupendous. We'll get to those in a second.
One other Chiefs thing that I just don't know what to even do with. The Chiefs' running game is just atrocious. And again, this screenshot Brandon Kiley put out on Twitter, and I retweeted it also, and I thought I had a screenshot on my phone, so now I have to go back and find it. There we go, got it. Boom. Nailed it. Professional. The Chiefs' rushing chart since week six is atrocious. Strangely, that they have a chart for yards per carry by direction, and Eric Fisher has by far, or to the left tackle, I should say, is by far the most successful place for the offense to be running. Behind the left tackle, they average 5.1 yards per carry, but outside of the left tackle, it's 1.5. Left guard, 2.4. Center, 3.3. Right guard, 2.5. Right tackle, 3.8. Outside the right tackle, 2.8. The Chiefs have run 60 times with Kareem Hunt on first down, 29 times on third down, seven times on third down, because they're always out of range. It's on first down, Kareem Hunt average. Here's why they've only run it seven times on third down since week six, because Kareem Hunt averages 2.8 yards per carry on first down and then 4.8 yards per carry on second down, 2.4 on third down. You can't. He averages 3.3 yards per carry. If think about how bad this is. 3.3 yards per carry. If you literally got exactly that on every carry, never more, never less, you would go have a three and out every time, because you would be 0.1 yard short of the first down every time. And that's with a couple of you know, decent runs here and there, and a ton of getting stuffed the line of scrimmage behind, you know, Zach Fulton or whatever. And the Chiefs do usually succeed with having the run game set up the pass game a little more than vice versa. And it has to be vice versa right now. It's terrible, and I don't know what to do with it. Like, I'm kind of at a loss for what you could possibly do with this offense right now. On the run game. Again, Smith was good yesterday. And I also still understand if you're just kind of at, if you're at a, just kind of an existential place, if you're in an existential place with the Chiefs right now, I totally get it. If you are just sort of staring off into the distance, it's going, I'd rather just watch Patrick Mahomes. I completely understand, and I'm largely there with you, because I just don't know what else to do. And again, I think that's what the Chiefs were setting up to do this week, except for Alex Smith played well yesterday. But because besides that, what do you do that makes yesterday better? Because again, the Chiefs weren't fantastic offensively. They had some fantastic deep plays, which covers up a lot of ills. That's the reason that deep plays are so important. You don't have to have the most efficient offense of all time, as Andy Reid and Alex Smith tend to try to do. You can have some mistakes and some sloppiness as long as you're also getting big plays. It keeps you from having to play an immaculate game, and that's what worked yesterday. But I don't really buy that being the norm for this team. I don't really buy the Chiefs being a team that goes to Tyreek Hill to cover up their lack of immaculateness. That's never been what they are. It's what they should be with Travis Kelce and with Tyreek Hill, but I don't think that's what Alex Smith is. And I'm just, and also there's nothing else you can fix. Like, what else can you do? You want to fire Bob Sutton right now? I mean, like, I guess you could argue that Reed giving Matt Nagy the play calling duties was useful. I guess. So you want to try to do the same thing defensively? Fire Bob Sutton? Give it to one of the guys on the staff already? I mean, you can throw that dart if you want. I wouldn't be mad. I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised to see that happen.
You want to replace players? You want less Derek Johnson, more Reggie Ragland? I guess you can keep doing that. You can keep moving that slider over in favor of Ragland because he's been great. You want to go sign Darrell Revis? Oh, yeah. You did that already. Whoops. So that's why I said at the beginning of the show today, I think the overwhelming feeling right now for the Chiefs fan base is something like apathy. I don't feel really strongly about the game on Sunday. I don't feel really strong about what we saw last Sunday. I don't feel really strong about the AFC West. I don't feel really strongly about Andy Reid or Alex Smith or the offense or the defense. It all feels kind of predetermined. And listen, the NFL is crazy. And there are four more games, and the Chiefs are tied for the lead in their division currently with the tiebreakers that they would lose or, you know, split if they lose to the Raiders and Chargers in these next 2 weeks, respectively. But, like, the season isn't over. It just feels predetermined. And that's a feeling that I've been dealing with since the Steelers game. And it's obviously only gotten worse since then, because since the Steelers game, the Chiefs have gone 1-6. Counting the Steelers game, obviously. The Steelers game was like that reminder. It was putting the Chiefs back in their place. You have the Steelers at home, you hold them to 19 points, and you still lose. All right, back in the corner, little brother. Losing to the Raiders, you know, it was just whatever. You lose to the Raiders on the road, that's Thursday Night Football, it's a tough game. Beat the Broncos at home, all right, everything's fixed. Ooh, on the road against the Cowboys, the Cowboys are a good team. They're a good team now, the offense and defense, neither one of them were very good. The Cowboys had about an average offensive performance for them at that point in the year. The defense, you know, was fine. The offense was bad. Well, fine. It was a good team. Bye week. Perfect. Good timing. You're on a 1-3 stretch. You get a bye week. Andy Reid is amazing off of byes. And the rest of this schedule is a cakewalk. Lose to the Giants. Lose to the Bills. Lose to the Jets. Also, I'm guessing that no team has ever lost to the three New York teams back-to-back-to-back weeks in any order. The best guess I could come up with would be maybe the Dolphins at some point, because the Dolphins are the only team that plays the Jets and the Bills both twice every year that loses. The Patriots obviously also play both of them, but the Patriots have never lost back-to-back games against anybody. So maybe the Dolphins have done it but the sheer randomness of that is pretty crazy. And you also have to be on a year where you're playing the Giants for some reason and then lose all three of them. All right, let's do something that'll make us happier. You remember Herm Edwards, right? Herm Edwards, former Chiefs head coach, and up until like yesterday, ESPN analyst, is the new head coach of the Arizona State football team. I say the Arizona State football team like that, and I don't mention their mascot, for a very specific reason. If you don't know it, then this clip of audio will be very interesting to you. And you won't know why it's so funny. If you do know the Arizona State University mascot, you will hear this clip, and you may be led to believe that Herm Edwards doesn't know the mascot of the school that just hired him. This is Herm Edwards at his introductory press conference to becoming the head coach of the Arizona State football team.
Next question. Yes, sir.
Hoda Rubino, Devil's Digest.
Devil's Digest, huh?
Yes, sir.
Where are you located, my man?
Right here in Tempe.
Okay, Devil's Digest. Okay. I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out them devils. Just saying.
Well,
we're good, brother.
You can see devils all over the place.
I ain't taking it personal.
It's the Arizona State Sun Devils. That's the name of the school. Their current most used logo is a pitchfork. Their mascot is a sun devil. It's like a little demon, like an imp or something.
The video is pretty good of that because just completely on the backdrop behind them is that trident.
Yes. It's a pitchfork.
Yeah.
It's a pitchfork. tridents are aquatic in nature. Tridents belong to Poseidon. Poseidon has a trident. A sun devil has a pitchfork. And Beards threw out the idea, because we were playing that sound before the show and just cackling at it. Beards had the idea that maybe Herm was just making a joke of some sort. Play it again here. There is no chance that this... Now listen.
No. Misrepresentation.
Okay.
I was saying that there's a chance he was playing a joke, but I felt there's no such thing as a funny bone in Herm Edwards' body.
Okay. Good. That's a good correction. Thank you.
It's like, you know, some people are born with, you know, an extra toe or whatever,
right,
without certain, or like, you know, Greg Oden didn't have knees or whatever.
Sure.
Herm just doesn't have a funny bone.
That seems plausible to me. And I think if I had to bet my life on what happened here, I would bet that Herm Edwards knows that it's the Arizona State Sun Devils. If you asked him for the mascot, he would say Sun Devils. But I just think Devil's Digest like that just hit him, and he forgot everything he knew about Arizona State and the connection to it. That's my theory for the justification of this audio.
Next question. Yes, sir.
Hold Rubino, Devil's Digest.
Devil's Digest, huh?
Yes, sir.
Where are you located, my man?
Right here in Tempe.
Okay, Devil's Digest. Okay. I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out them devils. Just saying.
Well,
we're good, brother.
You can see devils all over the place.
I ain't taking it personal.
I even thought that maybe like halfway through he realized what he said was dumb because they're the Sun Devils and then got back on track. But the thing at the end makes it even more like, oh, no, man, I'm just kidding with you. You know, it's fine that you write for a site that has the word devil in it. I'm not actually mad, which is something you could not possibly think if you actually made that connection yet.
The reporter is very confused, especially at the beginning, I felt like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like...
Does he know?
Right. Like, what is the... What are you... Someone has to ask him that follow-up at some point soon, I hope.
Oh, for sure. I mean, of course, by then, there'll be a PR person in his ear like, by the way, if you didn't know, our mascot's the Sun Devils.
What?
What?
Devils. Also, I know that this hire is going to go poorly. You know how I know? I know this beyond the shadow of a doubt. What were you going to say, Beards?
Nothing. Continue with your regular.
What were you gonna say?
Nothing.
Herm Edwards' agent is how I know this hire is going to backfire. Here is an actual quote from Herm Edwards' agent about this new job for Herm. Are you ready? Quote. I have no doubt he will put up a lot of points on the scoreboard of life.
I do remember hearing that quote and going, what?
I have no doubt he will put a lot of points on the scoreboard of life. Man, that did you say 2 hours before you get fired? That's what David Beatty says. I'm sure that David Beatty believes that he's helping his kids put up a whole lot of points on the scoreboard of life.
We're not here to win games. We're here to teach lessons.
We're here to mold young men into fathers and contributors to society. Also, Herm said something about how, like, that we don't huddle enough in our society anymore. So I don't know if that means... No, I'm dead serious. Beards looked at me like I just said that Herm Edwards has a toe growing out of his forehead.
I mean, he might.
We would have seen that.
Herm Maybe a Edwards, tiny toe.
What do I even search here? Herm Edwards huddle? I mean, like, there are whole posts about the weirdest things from this press conference. Thank you. I appreciate that. Obviously, there's not knowing his own school's mascot.
Why not just Google Herm Edwards and a huddle?
I got it. We don't huddle anymore in our society. That's the problem with it, to be honest. Oh, okay. Well, that was easy.
So what does that fix now?
Everything. Society. That fixes society.
like, I guess the if I had to try to get into Herm's brain here, that's, you know, we don't come together enough. You know, take 10 seconds to get to on the same page, to run the same play, and run it together.
You said get into Herm's mind there. I just had the visual of like Inside Out, but all of them speak in Herm's voice.
Oh, man.
That's a scary visual right there, man.
I just imagine, for me, I see more like that scene in SpongeBob where there's a bunch of little SpongeBobs running around his head just like throwing papers around and stuff. Where there are several small Herms, but maybe with higher pitched voices, like Herm on helium. He's going, he needs a cliche! Feed him a cliche!
Football!
We don't huddle anymore in our society. That's the problem with it, to be honest. Did I start doing Elvis? I think I started that impression with Elvis. We don't huddle anymore in our society. That's a problem with it, to be honest. But I'm Elvis Presley. I almost forgot the key to my impressions. Listen, Herm is always going to have perfect press conferences. But his agent, I think, has the quote of the day with the, I have no doubt he'll put up a lot of points on the scoreboard of life.
I don't know. How good are they supposed to be?
I mean, they just hired Herm Edwards to be their coach.
I mean,
so.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. So
They're in the Pac-12, and the, I don't know. It's
first loss of the year. Explosion rant or no?
No, I think he's going to do, I think that's old Herm, or young Herm, I guess. I think new Herm, Arizona State finished second in the Pac-12 South. What? How? Is the Pac-12 South terrible? Can I get some music to find out if the Pac-12 South is terrible?
Just Google search. Is the Pac-12 South terrible?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. There were 6-3, though, apparently, in the conference. USC won the Pac-12 South. Arizona State was 6-3. Arizona was 5-4. Why did they fire their coach? They're 7-5 overall.
They saw a better opportunity in Herm Edwards.
Stop it. You can't sit out with a straight face. I just heard Beards laugh very loudly. Go ahead, tell me why.
Renee has struck again. Josh, do you know what's wrong with our relationship? We don't huddle enough.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Will we eventually talk about, you know, should Patrick Mahomes take over the Chiefs? Sure, we'll eventually talk about Patrick Mahomes taking over the Chiefs.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.